Okay, we will go on to the next speaker. The title of her presentation, Ms. Tapasha Babu, is Calibration and Categorization of Plant Available Silicon in Louisiana Agricultural Soils.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, much before than any time before, scientists have been trying to unravel the mystery surrounding this nutrient element, silicon, in agriculture. And so I welcome you all to my presentation on calibration and categorization of plant available silicon in Louisiana agricultural soils. When only two people were to be fed from 1 hectare of food producing land in the 1960s, by the time we are in the 2020s, we are to feed at least 5 people from the same area of 1 hectare. This increased demand in food not only comes with less land, but also with less water, less labor, and also a demand for fewer chemical pesticides. So not only do we need genetic modification or better crop varieties, we also are in need of better management practices. And this is where, as a soil scientist, I believe lies the essentiality of this nutrient element, silicon, in agriculture. Not only this nutrient element creates greater yield stability in different crops, but also it induces stress resistance in different crops in terms of both biotic and abiotic. The two commonly used silicon sources today are wollastonite, a naturally occurring pure mineral, and slag, a byproduct of iron and steel industry. But even today, we have certain issues to be addressed in silicon fertilization. Silicon is the second most abundant element on the Earth's crust. And this could be one reason why scientists have overlooked or ignored the importance of this nutrient element in agriculture. But the problem is, not all silicon is plant available. We are yet to find the current status of plant available silicon, also called as the monosilicic acid. We are yet to find the best source and the right rate of these fertilizers in different soils. And in order to do that, we need to have a better understanding of plant available index, evaluating different soil test procedures, and also find the critical silicon level in different soils. So to address these issues, we developed our research with 2 major objectives. The first one was to find the critical soil silicon level, evaluating the different soil test methods, which was done with a calibration study. And the second objective was to categorize the soils of Louisiana into low, medium, and high silicon soils by finding the current status of plant available silicon using different extraction procedures. So the first objective was fulfilled, which was to find the critical level of soil silicon. We collected soils from different parts of Louisiana, and these soils belong to 6 different soil series. And these soils were used to conduct greenhouse experiments in the years 2013 and 2014. Which included 8 treatments with 3 levels of wollastonite and 3 levels of slag as silicon fertilizers. So a major step towards finding a critical level of soil silicon would be to find the best extractant by correlating the soil silicon with plant silicon. This was achieved by adding wollastonite and slag, which would release monosilicic acid into the soil, which is taken up by the rice plants during the entire growth period. The total silicon taken up by rice was then measured using oven-induced digestion, followed by UV with spectrophotometry. The soil silicon concentration was measured using 7 different extraction procedures. Finally, the correlation analysis was done using R-square and p-values generated in the software SAS. So the extraction procedures that we evaluated not only were different in their own chemistry, but also were different in their pH. We had an extractant with a pH of 2.2 and an extractant with a pH of 7.2. They were also different in their soil-to-solution ratio and also the shaking period with soil. And finally, the critical silicon level was determined in our study, which was the soil silicon concentration below which there is a decline in relative biomass yield, or below which there is a high likelihood of response to these silicon fertilizers. The 3 statistical models that we used to find the critical silicon level were linear platter model, quadratic regression, and the graphical Cayley-Nelson. When we looked into the differences between the extractant procedures, we found that all the acidic extractants measured higher concentrations of soil silicon than the neutral extractants, which were the deionized water and the calcium chloride. This could be probably due to the fact that the neutral extractants measured the easily soluble forms of silicon in soil, whereas the acidic extractants measured the exchangeable and adsorbed forms of silicon in addition to the easily soluble forms of silicon in soil. The question we were trying to answer was which of these extraction procedures gave us the best estimate of plant available silicon. The fact, well, one might be tempted to say that it would be the extractant that measures the easily soluble forms of silicon in soil. But the fact remains that not this easily soluble form of silicon does not remain in soil solution for a long time. It is lost with the processes of leaching, adsorption, and polymerization. And it's not available for plant uptake during the entire growth period. So to have a better understanding about the extractant that would give us the best estimate of plant available silicon, we are also to take into consideration the extractant that give us the measure of exchangeable and adsorbed forms of silicon in soil. So the question, the real question would be, which of these extractants would give us the plant available silicon during the entire crop growing period? When we looked into the differences between the silicon sources, when the neutral extractants, calcium chloride and deionized water, was considered, we found that slag was not as effective as wollastonite in raising the soil silicon concentration. This could be because slag, being a byproduct, a recently formed polycrystalline material, can release monosilicic acid at a faster rate and a greater concentration, leading to its conversion into adsorbed and exchangeable forms of silicon in soil. True enough, when we looked into the soil silicon measured with the acidic extractants, we found that slag was equally effective as wollastonite in raising the silicon concentration, meaning the soluble forms of silicon released by slag was being converted into the adsorbed and the exchangeable forms of silicon in soil. This is a table that gives us the results from the correlation analysis between the soil silicon concentration measured using the 7 different extraction procedures and the plant response variables. We found all of the extractants gave us a positive relationship between the plant response variables. However, the best correlation with the soil silicon and plant response variables were found with the acetic acid 24-hour procedure, meaning this would be the extraction procedure giving us the best estimate of plant available silicon. This was closely followed by the neutral extractant calcium chloride. So it was interesting to note that it was not the extractant that gave us the measure of soluble silicon that was the best correlated one. It was the one that measured the, which took into consideration the adsorbed and exchangeable forms of silicon, measuring the plant available silicon during the entire crop growing period. Although correlation analysis could be done using the data generated from the 6 different soils pooled into one, the critical levels could not be generated from the pooled data. This could be simply due to the fact that all the soils belonged to 6 different soil series with distinct physical chemical properties, varying in their response to silicon fertilization. However, we were able to generate the critical levels for each soil series when taken individually. For the Commerce silt loam, this critical level was 156, and the Kochta silt loam, we got a critical level of 174, and Sharkey clay and Perry clay had a critical level higher than 149 ppm. So it was, what was interesting here was that in Sharkey clay and Perry clay, sodium acetate and acetic acid 1-hour procedure gave us a better response curve, although these extractants were not the best extractants in the correlation analysis, meaning suitability of an extractant might depend on the soil type. The quadratic model could generate the critical level for 3 soils out of the 6 soil series studied. We found that Crawley silt loam had a critical level of 39 ppm, and Commerce silt loam had a critical level of 43 ppm, and Perry clay had a critical level of 296 ppm. However, when both the statistical models, the linear plateau and quadratic model, were unable to generate critical levels for some of the soil series studied. So only further studies to strengthen the database could help us to generate more data and get the critical levels using these models. The Caton-Nelson procedure was able to generate critical level for all the soil, all the 6 soil series studied, and we found that the clay soils had a much greater critical level than the silt loam soils, similar to what was observed in the other models. With all this information from the calibration study on the critical level of silicon, we set off to long drives to different parishes of Louisiana to find the current status of plant available silicon in soil. We were successful in covering 27 different parishes representing 212 fields of Louisiana, and each field with an average area of 50 to 100 hectares. When we looked into the relationship again between the extractants, we found the acidic extractants extracted much more silicon than the neutral extractants. So So this further brought into the conclusion that there was a similarity in the form of silicon that was being extracted using the neutral extractants, which was a soluble form of silicon, and the acidic extractants, giving us a good correlation between citric acid and acetic acid, meaning they extracted the adsorbed and the exchangeable forms of silicon in soil. Also, we found that the clay soils in Louisiana were relatively higher in soil silicon concentration when compared to the coarse textured soils of Louisiana. But the question was, are these soils silicon sufficient? So from the information that we generated in our calibration study about the critical levels of silicon in soil, we were able to categorize the soils of Louisiana into low, medium, and high levels of silicon. And we found that there were certain regions in Louisiana that lie below critical levels, according to the critical levels established in our own study, and also comparing the critical levels established by scientists in other parts of the world. And these areas were prone to intensive rice cultivation. This was seen irrespective of the extractant used. So meaning, we can no longer ignore the silicon fertilization, especially in rice cultivation. As a conclusion, I would say the best extraction procedures that we came up with was which gave us the best correlation with plant silicon with acetic acid 24-hour procedures and also the calcium chloride. This could be either used in combination or alone to give us the best estimate of plant available silicon. But it is very unlikely that there would be a single universal extraction procedure for all types of soils with what is seen in our own data. And the soil silicon critical level in Louisiana could be much above 50 ppm in the case of clay soils and above 39 ppm in the case of silt loam soils. And silicon fertilization in rice and sugarcane production can no longer be ignored. And it is time to pay attention to a solution that lies right beneath our feet, silicon, to reverse soil degradation, reduce chemical pesticides, and maintain soil fertility. Thank you. Yes, but not in U.S. as far as I know. They have been using diatoms in Australia, I believe, and it has been found to be very useful and economically beneficial. But as far as I know, in U.S. we have been using slag as the common source of silicon. Okay.